By early March, Lillington had only around half as many troops on the far side of the bridge, which must have been partially passable by then. A few sources say that as part of Craig's ongoing efforts to suppress Patriot activity, he decided to attack again on Friday, March 9. Accounts from the day are confusing and contradict each other, so it is unclear where exactly the following occurred. Most of Lillington's force was in the old camp. He learned of Craig's approach and sent a detachment downriver, west, past the access area, to another crossing that would take them behind Craig's camp near the bridge. Another force was sent over the bridge to attack from the front. Somewhere between here, if you made the drive, and the river was a house. A small group of Patriot cavalry were either supposed to be on the road guarding it or looking for the British. Instead, they were goofing off inside. A unit of British soldiers was sent forward to scout, and it surprised and captured some of those men. Another was bayoneted, and one drowned while trying to escape. From the prisoners, Craig learned of the impending ambush. He withdrew his force to a hill. If you were on Blossom Ferry Road, this must have been the relative high ground of the neighborhood you drove through. The Patriot cannons opened fire at 4 p.m., which signaled the attack. However, Lillington reported later, his officers did not create good formations, and the British were able to drive off both units with the help of their two cannons. The British pursued Whigs in both directions as best they could, given the swamps and growing darkness. Lillington decided the danger was great enough to order a retreat, having already lost 20 killed and 11 captured, with an unknown number wounded. Craig's troops foraged the area for food for 2 to 4 days and then returned to Wilmington. None of them had been killed, though two were wounded and one captured. Lillington was frustrated at the lost opportunity to destroy Craig's force. The cavalry officer who didn't follow orders was court-martialed and removed. You've heard the phrase, "Don't burn your bridges." The British illustrate why soon after. The main British army in the South, under Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis, recovered in Wilmington after the Battle of Guilford Courthouse on March 15. When ready to leave for Virginia, Cornwallis had to order his cavalry to collect boats for the crossing here. Apparently, the bridge was no longer strong and/or wide enough to support columns of troops and equipment. The army likely marched up today's Blossom Ferry Road on Monday, April 23. It took 3 days for 1,700 soldiers, cannons, supply wagons, hundreds of camp followers, and runaways from slavery to get across. In case they ran into the problem again at any of the several rivers they still faced, they put two of the boats on wagons and brought them along. Yet again, Lillington eventually returned to guard the crossing. Craig placed troops on this side and began rebuilding the bridge in June, but neither confronted the other again. Perhaps Craig should have. The Patriots nearly ran out of ammunition. Lillington wrote Governor Thomas Burke on July 24, "We have not 3 rounds a man." Burke orders him not to resist if Craig approaches again. Another possible confrontation was prevented months later by a dramatic arrival on Saturday, November 17. A North Carolina militia army of 1,000 or more under Brigadier General Griffith Rutherford had marched here from the Ujari Mountains, south of modern Asheboro, through today's Fayetteville. Rutherford was under orders from the state government to dislodge Craig's much smaller force and won the Battle of Raft Swamp over Loyalists on the way. They were readying themselves in the old campsite when a surprise arrived down the Duplin Road. Lieutenant Colonel Light Horse Henry Lee had ridden from Yorktown, Virginia, with news that Cornwallis surrendered on October 19. Cheering reverberated over the area, and Rutherford ordered a celebratory volley. The next day, the militia and cavalry marched across the bridge and probably down today's Blossom Ferry Road in hopes of challenging Craig. Visit our Wilmington page to learn what happened next. Historical tidbit. In case you were wondering, no, there was never a castle here. The nearby community was named for the large plantation home of Captain Roger Haynes, built in the 1730s, which he called Castle Haynes. It's unclear when the last S was dropped from the town name.